God, our Father, we pray that you will continue to speak into our lives, that we will know your truth and worship you in spirit, that we will give our lives in reverence to you, that we will know the meaning of our lives, and we may be changed into your likeness. In your name we pray. Amen. We become like what we worship. All of society is affected by what we worship. With what we reverence, love, give time to, that is, what we worship, is what we become like. Imogen makes a great start today in being christened, baptised, to build her life in good, truthful, fruitful worship. The challenge for her, for all of us, is to go on building our lives in what is good, truthful, fruitful worship. This can only surely mean worship of the greater presence that most people sense is behind our existence. Good, truthful, fruitful worship must mean giving worth, our time, our lives to God. Then, extraordinarily, we become like God, and general society around us becomes more God-like. We become like what we worship. There's certainly been a whole lot of worship going on recently, and as the Hassetts and Dunkleys are keen sports people, I guess you've been caught up in it. The such near glory of the England football team in the European Championship. And this is what it came to. Have you got over it yet? Football didn't come home, but instead went to Rome. And as a football fan all my life, I feel the pain. I dreamt in the week after that England got another chance to play Italy in the final, and this time England won. If only it could have been. Surely we'd all be enjoying the boost of victory. Of course, what football fans do is worship. Think about the extraordinary scenes we've seen around the country over the last few weeks and generally that accompany top football matches. Fans sing, chant, even dance, weep, rejoice. All of this is the stuff of worship, or rather the external outworkings of worship. Our word worship comes from the Old English word worth-ship. It means giving reverence, love, honour, and respect. And football fans clearly do this, reverencing, loving, honouring, respecting the team. In summary, we give a part of ourselves. It's certainly what I've done over the years of double suffering of following England and being a Tottenham supporter. For the football fan, the team becomes part of your identity. And I thank God that being a football supporter is now only a small part of my identity. I guess like all football fans, I enjoy the interest and something of the tribalism, and just occasionally, very occasionally with England and Tottenham, there are tastes of glory. And I like how football can be a force for good through our society, especially under such an articulate manager as Gareth Southgate. But there is so much I don't like. I don't like how insanely important football seems to be for so many people and all the hype that goes with it. I don't like how football is such an apparently easy outlet for racism. And I'm certainly disgusted by the obscene amounts of money around the game. And there are things I don't like about what being a football supporter does to me inside. I confess as a Tottenham supporter to a visceral dislike of all things Arsenal. I'm sorry to Peter and any other Arsenal fans here. I hope the point is that I'm trying to get over is clear. What we worship affects who we are. We become like what we worship, and what we worship affects all of society. That's true of football, and the same goes for anything else we give worth to, anything we give ourselves to, whether it be work, money, shopping, the house, holidaying, or whatever else. And the thing is this, if we worship something less than God, if we worship, give more worth to created things rather than the Creator, we are diminished. And so is society. St. Paul wrote, "We exchange the glory of the immortal God for images. We claim to be wise, but we became fools." Or as the writer of Psalm 115 says, "We make idols that are essentially dumb, deaf, and senseless, and we become like them." So we're not to worship created things, but worship the Creator behind all created things. Worship God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, proclaims the psalmist in Psalm 8 that we just had read for us. We're to worship God in his majestic might and mystery, giving ourselves to worshiping God. And such a call on our lives means entering into a wonderful, glorious vortex of reality. Christians, I'm sure as you know, understand God to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is the mighty force of creativity and devotion that is the reason for our existence. He is beyond time, he is eternal, but loves us day by day with the love of a devoted Father, a love for all people, all mankind, a wholly committed love for all the earth, the cosmos that he created. He is all-knowing in a way that leaves our great developments in science and technology with minuscule understanding by comparison. He is all-seeing in a way that maybe our satellite and surveillance technology aspires to, but is microscopic by comparison. And God is Spirit, the Holy Spirit, an ever-flowing stream of strength and wisdom, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness. And God is extraordinarily the Son, Jesus, the perfect example of humanity without sin, the suffering servant, atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christians understand God to be all these things: mighty Father of love, sustaining Spirit, incarnate Son. Football, I have to say by comparison, is 22 men or women chasing a ball. And so for all the things that we may worship, work, money, shopping, the house, holidaying, whatever else, how pale and feeble they are by comparison. How vital it is then for Imogen, for all of us, to grow in worshiping God, to reverence, love, honour and respect God, to give ourselves to him, to be caught up in the vortex, maelstrom of life, that is God. But how? How are we to do this? How are we to worship God? Do so on your own, giving time to God day by day. We're to focus our minds, think on, meditate, contemplate the glory and majesty of God. Simply, we pray. Prayer becomes integral to who we are. And we're to worship God together. We sing, we chant, maybe even dance. We rejoice, we weep together. And as John spells out in his encounter with the Samaritan woman that we heard in John's gospel, it does not matter about buildings or place. It does not matter if we sit on pews or chairs. It does not matter if we use screens or prayer books. It does not matter if we sing hymns from the 19th century or songs of today. What matters is that we worship. The Samaritan woman was hung up about only being able to worship God in a particular place, in a particular way. Jesus tells her, all that is important is to worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks, Jesus says. Worship in the spirit. Give yourself in intimate connection, a uniting of your spirit with God who is spirit. And worship in truth. No pretense, no show, just completely opening yourself to the truth that is God, that is Christ Jesus. And as we do this, as we give worth to him day by day, week by week, we find extraordinarily by his grace and presence, we become like him, like God, like Jesus. As St. Paul again wrote, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. We become like what we worship. And with Christian worship going on week by week through the country, the whole of our society experiences the fruits. Our country is transformed a bit more into the likeness of God. From the base of worship, Sunday by Sunday, comes all the ministry and mission of the church, the serving and caring that goes on day by day, week by week, nurturing children, young people in our church activities and in church schools, seeing new believers, new Christians, making disciples of Christ, all comes out of the base of Sunday by Sunday worship. And from there comes the engagement in wider issues in Westcott, in the country and around the world, engagement in wider issues in mission, social justice. Pack Your Partners, I'm sure all those who are involved in it would agree, would not exist if it hadn't been for the Sunday congregation in Westcott, for example. And out of all this engagement in worship comes the Christian values and difference that are so vital for our nation, that have been built over two millennia and that we could so very easily take for granted. And probably as Sunday by Sunday worship has diminished in this country, we are losing, to be honest. All of that Christian value comes out of the base, the ground of worship. So we all worship something, We all give worth, our time, ourselves to something. It might be football or other sport or work, money, shopping, the house, holidaying, all in their own way, good and fine, if they are a small part of our identity, if they are subsumed into the much greater, glorious vortex of reality that is God, because we have become like what we worship. And to say again, if we worship created things, we are reduced. If we worship God, we become like God, and general society around us becomes more God-like. I retire from being vicar here in 9 weeks' time, 9 weeks today. And my simple message will be to the people of this church and to Westcott and to all people, really, who care about God, care about the church. My simple message is that all you have to do is three things: to worship, serve, and give. If you do those three things, then there'll be a richness in your life, in your family life, and there will be vibrancy of the church as well. And worship is the starting point. Everything else comes from there. For us all, for Imogen, for all of us, I pray that we will give our lives to good, fruitful, truthful worship, the worship of God. Amen.